The recording has restarted. It is still 9:49 on Tuesday, October 29th, and this is the Board of Physical Therapy regular session meeting. Dr. Bastillo.
So we are to our next initial review, case 2419, Keith McElroy, PTA.
Case 2419 was opened after review of a complaint filed by a supervising physical therapist who alleged that Keith McElroy, PTA, did not follow appropriate postoperative precautions with patients and that he instructed patients in inappropriate exercises. Mr. McElroy received a copy of the investigative report and submitted a supplemental response, which was included as Exhibit 16. The potential statute violations identified for you to consider are ARS 32-2044-5, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant, including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established, and ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records, and as it relates to R-424-304, adequate patient records. Mr. McElroy is on the call, and I have not seen the complainant on the call, but complainant, if you are on the call, would you please identify yourself? I don't believe they've joined this morning.
Mr. McElroy, are you willing to answer questions from the board?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Is there anything that you would like to say first?
I don't think I would have anything more than what I've already responded with.
Mr. McElroy, it's Kelly King. A question, and I know it's in the documents, but can you just let us know, as a board, how long have you been working as a PTA?
Pretty close to 2 years now.
Almost 2 years. Okay.
I think a bit under 2 years, but going on 2 years.
And have you always practiced where you are now? I mean, is that where you've worked?
No, I'm used to the outpatient setting. I currently work for PAM Rehabilitation Hospital and, going on like 4 or 5 months, being employed with them.
Okay. Thank you. No, one more question. How, in a rehab hospital, how many different supervising PTs do you typically have in a week?
Currently, I'm on a kind of a team now. So currently I typically only have one. But in the past it could be 2, 3, 4. And sometimes, a bit unclear on as to who that one would be.
Okay.
They tell us to refer to the supervising therapist being the one who wrote the initial eval in most cases. Whenever those evals are taking place over the weekends, that often can be troublesome. Yeah. Just because that may be like a PRN style PT. Mm-hmm. May not be present. Mm-hmm. Throughout. Mm-hmm. The week.
Yep.
But right, like currently as it would relate to today, if I was working, I would say I have one that I go to.
And when you had mentioned in your response that you had worked with a different PT at some point who was okay with you putting a patient post-op total hip replacement on the new step, was that in the rehab setting or was that when you were working in outpatient?
Those were both instances in the outpatient setting.
Okay. Thank you.
And that wasn't they were okay with it. That was me following their example.
Right.
Of them doing it as well.
Okay. Got it. But the patients were further along, it sounds like, probably in their healing.
No, not necessarily. I mean, we would get post-op, you know, few days.
Okay.
In the outpatient setting.
Okay. That's good to know. Thank you.
Mr. McElroy, question I have is regarding the new step as well. So did the complainant advise you not to put her patients on the new step if they had HIPAA precautions?
Not until a – so there's kind of three – like a, maybe a 2 or 3 day period. The first day she asked me in a – quick little meeting, I guess, chat more like it in the hallway, stated that she doesn't typically do that. I explained to her that I would usually do that in my outpatient sitting experience, so I was kind of surprised by that. Kind of ended the conversation. Following day, she very abrasively came up to me and pointed her finger in my face saying that she told me to not use the new step. And that's when I responded that that's not what I had gotten from our conversation yesterday. The following morning is when she finally gave me a direct written text message through our text messaging system at our facility to then not use the new step with her patients.
All right. So
and she would have been the only one to have given me that directive at that point as well.
Got it. So after the first conversation, what was your impression as far as how you were to move forward with patients with HIPAA precautions? Like, what did you get out of that conversation?
To be very careful with the HIPAA precautions, understand the HIPAA precautions, make sure that the exercises I'm performing with the patients would meet those.
Okay.
And I would say that that following day, where I'd put the patient on the new step again, I was the patient's first visit that morning. She was a bit older, and so waking up in the early morning was difficult for her. She had requested to use the new step because she had liked it from the previous day. I don't know how to make it sound as if she was kind of a grumpy patient. And so in terms of just trying to get her to cooperate or get her to participate, I allowed for the new step again. Especially being new to that setting, and even now, I feel like, you know, we're expected to get our minutes for the day. And so it's almost like we are willing to do kind of whatever, and not in terms of like breaking precautions, but in terms of just getting, you know, willingness to participate. And so I think that with the time in question, I think I was trying to find things that she'd be willing to do.
Got it. Then there was another situation that the complainant brought up regarding the patient who was on touch to a weight bearing. She had mentioned that she believed that the patient was mentally impaired to the point where she wouldn't have been able to keep those precautions if you had her up in the parallel bars. Is this something that was written in the documentation that you would have been able to see, you know, and be aware of, or is that something that never even came up, you know, in the documentation or even a conversation with the PT?
In terms of whether or not they're impaired?
Yeah, whether or not the patient would be able to maintain those precautions due to mental impairment or whatever she thought was going on.
I wouldn't say that there was a defined, like, written statement anywhere in the notes of that. There is a checkbox that we click on our patient education part of our note. That doc, you can click for cognitive impairment, but that doesn't describe the level of cognitive impairment.
Okay.
I would also say that the following day, she had the patient in the parallel bars doing the same thing.
Okay. Then one more question. So prior to any treatment, and this is regarding any PT that you work with, is there any discussion that is had between you and the supervising PT as far as what is going to take place during the treatment that you provide?
At that time, not necessarily. Currently, yes, I would say there is.
So that's a change that you've made?
Yes.
With all this? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. McElroy, Karen Bustillo, have you ever measured anybody's hip range of motion while they're on a new step?
I've had another PT that I work closely look at it with me, as well as my own.
Does that mean that you've, what range of motion then do you feel like the patients get while they're on there?
I do think that it's limited, in terms of it's not a great motion that they're pushing through. But it is movement, and I like the New Steps website. It talks about letting the affected limb go along for the ride. It gives that ability to not necessarily push through and use that limb in terms of making it a bodybuilder muscle. But it allows for, you know, early movement. Whether it be a small amount or not.
Well, they are sitting, correct?
Yes.
And so they are at least close to 90 degrees to begin with?
Yes.
And so even a small amount of motion could?
I wouldn't say movement in that terms. I would say like staying out of the 90.
How do you keep them from doing that?
Adjusting the seat far enough back and making them aware of their precautions.
Do you get a lot of people where you are with posterior hip replacement?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. It's not an everyday occurrence, but it's maybe once a week. I wouldn't necessarily say that because it's a two-story building. I pretty much cover the one story now with my team. I wouldn't say that I am always seeing once a week one of those, but maybe the facility gets one or two a week kind of thing.
Are you seeing more say that anterior approach?
I would say it's the same.
Okay.
But in my outpatient clinic experience, we got them fairly often.
The posterior approaches.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. We can move into discussion.
Specific to the new step, it's a rigid seat, so you can't move it forward and back. You can slide it, but it's staying upright. So the hard part about that in terms of, you know, lowering it back might allow you to lean back and kind of like the recumbent bicycles you see a lot of people riding, allows you to do that. And in this case, that's not what you see in the new step. Even if you move the seat all the way back, the seat itself is rigid. So I think that's one concern. The other concern is the idea with the toe touch weight bearing, and I'm not sure in terms of, you know, the complainant doing it in the parallel bars versus Mr. McElroy, but if you're the physical therapist, you know if someone is going past toe touch weight bearing, and perhaps the complainant used an approach to do that in the parallel bars and felt that Mr. McElroy was not doing that. So that's a judgment call in my mind for the comparison specifically to toe touch weight bearing in the parallel bars. I think I can control that, but I'm not sure that, you know, in watching someone else do it, I can observe that they are not toe touch weight bearing very easily. And so I'm assuming the complainant just felt that that was the case. So those two, I think, helps influence, you know, the decision and the thought on the complainant suggesting that, you know, that was not within his purview. Not within his ability.
I feel like the patient had already been transferred several times, mm-hmm. had to get to the department, had to get out of bed. That was at least second day of therapy, that we know of. And so I feel like, you know, the patient's already been up and down. I feel like certainly the parallel bars is probably one of the safest places to practice toe touch weight bearing.
Absolutely.
Got the most controls about it.
For sure. And along those lines, Karen, parallel bars is absolutely the right place to start toe touch weight bearing if you're not sure about a person's cognitive ability to follow instructions. But you would have known that with your transfers and of course mm-hmm. communicated back to the supervising PT that the patient's just unable to, right, to maintain those precautions cognitively. So then you default to non-weight bearings, just mm-hmm. what you do. Parallel bar again would be a perfect place versus trying to manage a walker, and toe touch weight bearing. And on all honesty, I think if gait training is in the plan of care and toe touch weight bearing is on there, I think that it makes sense for the PTA to follow that plan of care of gait training, making the decisions of how to safely do that. Versus a tech, right, who would need to be specifically told what to do and how to do it. You know, he certainly has some clinical decision making that he can do within his scope. And I find it interesting that, you know, that the new step is from what I think I read, and correct me because it was a big document. Other therapists in the rehab have used the new step with patients and with total hip replacements. And so I don't know. I'm always amazed at how PTAs manage multiple supervising PTs with the same patient having different clinical opinions on plan of care and what that looks like, right?
Right,
the next day or 2 days later, we had the same PT saying, yeah, that's fine with me. That makes sense to me. And so, I guess in all, I'm not finding, in my mind, in reading, I'm not seeing egregious disrespect and disregard for the instructions from the supervising PT. Once it sounds like she was clear, he stopped doing that with her patient. And so I think there always lies better communication between the PTAs and the PTs on being clear about what you do not want your PTA doing with your patient under your supervision. Because at the end of the day, and I know we know this, but we have to frequently be reminded that patient is never the PTA's patient. That patient is always the physical therapist's patient. So that patient was never Mr. McElroy's patient. the supervising PT owns the patient. And whether they disagree with a different PT for a different plan of care day, you know, for that day, that patient's mine. And I delegate the care to the PTA, but the patient's never the PTA's. And so, but I guess it's long story short, I can see how this could have happened. There is, I know there's been a couple of comments in some of the, labs that I've sat in on, and helped with, some of the colleges, you know, there is some discussion about, evidence around HIPAA precautions, right? And whether that's actually even a thing anymore, but that doesn't sound like that was a discussion with these two, but I'm not leaning toward a disciplinary action for this PTA. I think he did the best he could in the situation he was in.
I agree. I didn't see anything comment-wise that were unprofessional in terms of documentation. I do want to make a statement that I'm seeing a lot of someone's posting articles, and so in the chat, and I don't think that that's probably, I'm not sure in terms of being on the board for a shorter time period than everyone else, but I'm not sure that that has been a standard in the past to consider, and so I would suggest that person stops doing that, but I assume that's in my realm to ask that.
And or put in, we have some vacancies on the board, so put your name in.
Right, apply. Right. Come join us.
There we go. You would love that. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I think it also back to your question, Dr. Vizdio, about the posterior hip precautions. I'm not seeing as many of those. So it's interesting to hear about those. We have a patient, you know, just on a side note, two houses down from us, they don't put any hip precautions on their patients whatsoever up here, nor do they actually send them to physical therapy. Because of the procedure approach that has advanced over the last 10 years. And so it's very interesting to me to have my neighbor stumbling around, if you will, in the neighborhood. But to that point then, looking at the HIPAA precautions and the idea of whether the chair is rigid or not, I think the patient would let you know if that really hurt them, or if they were, you know, moving toward the dislocation. So for Mr. McElroy, I think he would have noticed that based off his experience.
I'm in agreement with everyone so far as well. I don't see that Mr. McElroy went outside his scope, you know, of the plan of care. I think the things that he did were very basic things that a PTA should be able to, you know, implement into a patient's treatment session. It doesn't sound like the complainant was very clear on what she wanted or didn't want, or he, you know, wanted or didn't want to be performed during the treatment. Once that person was clear, it sounds like Mr. McElroy stopped doing anything that they didn't want done at that point. My opinion on that is if you don't want certain things done, you know, for sure, you probably should be putting that into the initial evaluation so that the PTA is aware of that. So I would be in agreement with you guys as well. I don't see that he stepped outside of his scope at this point. And I appreciate, you know, that he's made the decision to, you know, begin talking with the supervising PTs now moving forward about, you know, what's okay and not okay.
Any thoughts on a motion?
I would move to dismiss.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we're ready.
In case 2420, Keith McElroy, PTA, it has been moved and seconded to dismiss. Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for being here, Mr. McElroy. Good luck.
Thank you.
Dr. Bastillo, I'd like to enter into the record that Ms. Bryant exited the meeting at 9:53 during that case discussion. She is expected to return.
Is everybody doing okay, or does anybody need a break?
A break would be fabulous.
Okay. So...
It's 10:15. What do you think? 15 minutes? 10 minutes?
10
minutes would be great.
Okay.
Okay. The board will recess at 10:15. The recording will end. The board will return at 10:25. For those of you on the meeting, you're more than welcome to take a break as well. Again, at 10:25, the meeting will start again and the recording will again begin.